Lesson from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This is the stone which is rejected by you builders, but which has become the head of the corner, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The saving words of the Gospel. Well, the saving words of the Gospel don't have to be much longer than that. It emphasizes the name of Jesus, destined for him from the beginning of all things, even before. And Peter, of course, in it's such refreshing directness. Peter is so refreshing in this little bit from the Acts, from the fourth chapter of the Acts. When he comes right out, he says, "Here, this is the deal, right here. This guy standing before you was healed by the name of the one you crucified, and there is no one else in whom we can be saved. And there is no other name under heaven and earth among men by which we must be saved." The very name of Jesus is saving. The very name of the Lord is saving. And in a way, this, you know, we hear, of course, the kind of veneration that we must give the name of the Lord. In the very beginning words of this Mass, the intro chant from Philippians, "At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven, earth, and under the earth." In other words, the entire cosmos must venerate the name of the Lord. And, of course, that fulfills a promise that's given in Isaiah. Isaiah, the prophet, learns from God and reveals, has the prophecy from God, that there is going to be a name that comes by which people are saved. It says in Isaiah 45, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." Well, that sounds like the whole of the cosmos, right? We just heard from Paul. "For I am God, and there is no other. By myself I have sworn, from my mouth has gone forth in righteousness, a word that shall not return. To me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Only in the Lord it shall be said of me, our righteousness and strength. To him shall come and be ashamed all who were incensed against him." And so this is also picks up on the point that Peter is making, this is the name of the one whom you rejected, whom the stone that builders rejected is now the head of the corner. See all these beautiful things, they were woven together. So God in his prophets explains the power of his holy name in the one who is going to be sent. And the one who is going to be sent, of course, is the name of, bears the name of Jesus. And the name of the Lord has such magnificent power, even by which we can be healed, and also by which we can be saved. Salus in Latin can mean health, but it can also mean salvation. So this is another connection. There was something that I found in here. Let me just get to a couple of texts here that talk about the Lord's name. Continuing with Acts here. Now, you remember, for example, that the disciples were going around when the Lord sent them out to heal the sick and so forth. They came back and said, "Hey, we found people who were casting out demons in your name, and we stopped them because they're not part of our group." And the Lord said, don't stop them. But they're using the name of the Lord to cast out demons, even people who aren't part of the circle there, even people who might not necessarily even believe in Jesus, were doing this. And, you know, the ancient Jews did have kind of exorcisms because there were demonic possessions back then. And so in Acts, we have one of these moments when Paul uses the name of the Lord to cast out a spirit. He and Silas are in prison in Acts 16, and it says here, I'll just read this, it's so fascinating. "As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by soothsaying. So what is this girl? She's possessed by a demon because she's a fortune teller, right? So she's into, like, you know, you imagine some modern day person who's into tarot cards or Ouija boards or all of these things, you know, those kinds of things. That is demonic. And it's the gateway to demonic possession. And this is a perfect example. The slave girl got, you know, lots and lots of money for her owners because she was possessed by a demon, and she was, you know, predicting the future by soothsaying, it says in here. Then, you know, these words are so gentle. Soothsaying. No. No, it's demonic possession. It's not the spirit of divination. It's demonic possession and channeling the voice of the evil one. Anyway. So here comes this slave girl who is possessed. She followed Paul and us, crying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation." Well, that's the demon complaining against them, right? And she did this for many days. I love this word. But Paul was annoyed and turned and said to the spirit, "I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. He exorcised her with the name of the Lord. I think it's just marvelous, this dynamic. And there's something about the way that this is related and the details of it that give you the sense that, yeah, this really happened. It's not something that was just made up. It has this feeling of authenticity to it. What do saints say about the name of the holy name of Jesus? Well, we could go on and on and on and on about that, but there are a couple quotes here that I think are nice for today. For example, Saint Bernard says, "When I utter the name of Jesus, I see before me a man of meekness, humility, kindness, and mercy, who is at the same time the Almighty God who heals and strengthens me. It is He alone who experiences it that can know what sweetness, what a paradise, even in this veil of tears, it is truly to love Jesus." By saying the holy name of Jesus, we have a way even of encountering Him. Seeing Him, Bernard says, "When I utter the name of Jesus, I see before me a man of meekness." Uttering the name can summon even an image of the person. And that's very interesting, because I noted as I was reading the collect today, it says, what does it say again? "With cuius sanctum nomen venenamur in celis, eus quoque aspectu perforamur in celis," that by venerating His holy name on earth, we can enjoy the sight of Him in heaven. Right? So uttering the holy name and veneration of the holy name is a foretaste of seeing Him face to face in heaven. Yeah. St. Anselm, "Let Jesus be ever in thy heart. Let Him be thy food, thy delight, thy consolation." Anselm asks all Christians to cherish the name of Jesus, to have it always in their heart, that it may be their only food and consolation. And here we have a connection, a Eucharistic connection. Saying the name of Jesus, in a way, can be a good way of preparing for the reception of the food, which is the name, which is the word, which is the Eucharistic Lord. Think about the way that the Lord Himself talks about His name. He says, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give to you." And He says also, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So the name of Jesus has very great power. Now, with that in mind, I'm going to go back to this thing that I skipped over earlier. And it has to do with the name of Jesus, but in a slightly indirect way, the connection is clear. And it's in the night when He was betrayed. As a matter of fact, it's in the very moment of His betrayal. They're in the garden. This is the gospel according to John. And there's a detail in here that I really hadn't, you know, I don't know. I mean, after all the years and years and years I've been reading John, it's a detail that I really didn't notice until recently. And I find it absolutely striking. We're in John 18. And in order to get the point here, you have to get you have to get into the Greek of John, because the translations obscure the connection between the responses of Jesus to the interrogation by the soldiers and the holy name. And so here, let's take a look at this for a second. I'm just going to back up to the beginning of the chapter and take a run at it so that you can get the context and get the feeling of this thing. We're in the garden. It's night. There are torches. There's soldiers. There's tension. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, procuring a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to befall him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." That "I am he" is how you usually get it in English translations. But if you look in the Greek, he's merely saying, "Ego eimi." He says, "I am," which is the holy name of God revealed by God to Moses in the burning bush. "Whom do you seek?" Jesus of Nazareth. And his response is with the name of God himself. "I am," ego eimi, in Greek. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed them, was standing with them. When, here it comes, when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. The word, just him, the Lord standing there in that moment, responding to his own name, identifying himself perfectly with the name of Jesus by saying, "Ego eimi," the force of him saying that, the power of him saying that in that moment, drives them back and they fall to the ground. Now, you can imagine that these people that were sent out, you know, we're not exactly the weaklings of the weaklings of the guard. They're probably, you know, physically strong people, but they couldn't stand the power of the uttering of the connection of the uttering of the name of the one. They're looking for Jesus, and he says, "I am," and they fall to the ground. Now, this is just a taste of reasons why the holy name should be so dear to us, as something that will heal and save, that will help us to prepare for our personal encounter with the Lord, something that will, by uttering it, we will increase our longing for him, by uttering it, we will increase our ability to receive him, and then eventually to know him face to face. So truly, what Paul says to the Philippians, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, those in heaven and earth and under the earth. At the end of Holy Mass today, I'll say the litany of the holy name of Jesus. I have never been able to find any chant for the litany of the holy name for Latin. So we'll do the English litany in English at the end of Holy Mass, and it's really quite lovely. It's not a litany that's done very often, I think. But perhaps it should be done a lot more in this new calendar year. The Litany of the Most Holy Name of Jesus. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus, hear us. Jesus, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Ghost, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on us. Jesus, splendor of the Father, have mercy on us. Jesus, brightness of eternal light, have mercy on us. Jesus, King of glory, have mercy on us. Jesus, Son of justice, have mercy on us. Jesus, Son of the Virgin Mary, have mercy on us. Jesus, most amiable, have mercy on us. Jesus, most admirable, have mercy on us. Jesus, the mighty God, have mercy on us. Jesus, Father of the world to come, have mercy on us. Jesus, angel of great counsel, have mercy on us. Jesus, most powerful, have mercy on us. Jesus, most patient, have mercy on us. Jesus, most obedient, have mercy on us. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, have mercy on us. Jesus, lover of chastity, have mercy on us. Jesus, lover of mankind, have mercy on us. Jesus, God of peace, have mercy on us. Jesus, author of life, have mercy on us. Jesus, example of virtues, have mercy on us. Jesus, lover of souls, zealous lover of souls, have mercy on us. Jesus, our God, have mercy on us. Jesus, our refuge, have mercy on us. Jesus, Father of the poor, have mercy on us. Treasure of the faithful, have mercy on us. Jesus, Good Shepherd, have mercy on us. Jesus, true light, have mercy on us. Jesus, eternal wisdom, have mercy on us. Jesus, infinite goodness, have mercy on us. Jesus, our way and our life, have mercy on us. Jesus, joy of angels, have mercy on us. Jesus, King of patriarchs, have mercy on us. Jesus, master of apostles, have mercy on us. Jesus, teacher of evangelists, have mercy on us. Jesus, strength of martyrs, have mercy on us. Jesus, light of confessors, have mercy on us. Jesus, purity of virgins, have mercy on us. Jesus, crown of all saints, have mercy on us. Be merciful, spare us, O Jesus. Be mercifully, graciously hear us, O Jesus. From all evil, deliver us, O Jesus. From all sin, deliver us, O Jesus. From thy wrath, deliver us, O Jesus. From the snares of the devil, deliver us, O Jesus. From the spirit of fornication, deliver us, O Jesus. From everlasting death, deliver us, O Jesus. From the neglect of thine inspirations, deliver us, O Jesus. By the mystery of thy holy incarnation, deliver us, O Jesus. By thy nativity, deliver us, O Jesus. By thine infancy, deliver us, O Jesus. By thy most divine life, deliver us, O Jesus. By thy labors, deliver us, O Jesus. By thine agony and passion, deliver us, O Jesus. By thy cross and dereliction, deliver us, O Jesus. By thy sufferings, deliver us, O Jesus. By thy death and burial, deliver us, O Jesus. By thy resurrection, deliver us, O Jesus. By thine ascension, deliver us, O Jesus. By thine institution of the most holy Eucharist, deliver us, O Jesus. By thy joys, deliver us, O Jesus. By thy glory, deliver us, O Jesus. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, spare us, O Jesus. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, hear us, O Jesus. Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world, have mercy on us, O Jesus. Jesus, hear us. Jesus, graciously hear us. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, who hast said, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Mercifully attend to our supplications, and grant us the gift of thine divine charity, that we may ever love thee with our whole heart, and with all our words and deeds,